of Ronnie's appearance today. I thought a nice way to spend the morning is discussing two things, following the footsteps of Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami, start with the Radha Tattva, the truths about Srimati Radharani, what her position is, and then some of the pastimes that exhibit her qualities. I'll say a few things and I'll read from Chaitanya Charitamrita, just the words of Krishna Das Kaviraj. Our principal authority, or pramana, means of understanding what's beyond the range of the senses to see, or the intellect, or the mind to conceive of, transcendental knowledge, must be understood. Not only it's best understood, it must be understood by descending knowledge of Purusheya Shabda, hearing sound vibration from a source that's beyond human defects. Ultimately, that means from the Supreme Lord himself. As Prabhupada would say, if you want perfect knowledge, you have to hear from a perfect person. Conversely, if you can't find a perfect person, you won't get perfect knowledge. Certainly, of transcendental subject matter, what to speak of even worldly subject matter. So in his Tattva Sandarbha, Jiva Goswami carefully, meticulously establishes that Srimad Bhagavatam is that principal authority on the authority of the Vedas. It's accepted amongst the Vedas as the principal authority. And in that Srimad Bhagavatam, it states that Bhagavan Sri Krishna, he's the source of everything. He's that from which everything comes, the highest truth, Paratattva. So many other truths, Krishna expands himself, and those expansions are like candles lit from another candle. They give off the same luminous quality, light and heat. But amongst them all, one is the origin, and Bhagavatam's confirmation is that Swayam Bhagavan Krishna is that source. In Srimad Bhagavatam, there is not even the name of Radha is not mentioned, other than indirectly. The reason being that the speaker of Srimad Bhagavatam, Shukadeva Goswami, knew he was such a devotee that just hearing her name, speaking her name, or hearing her name, or speaking of her directly, this is our Gaudiya understanding, that Shukadeva Goswami would have gone into such a state of ecstasy, he wouldn't have been able to complete narrating Srimad Bhagavatam, so he spoke of her indirectly. And the reference in the Bhagavatam of speaking indirectly about Srimati Radharani is in relation to Krishna's pastimes with the gopis, where he called the gopis, playing upon his bhangshi, his flute, and they came hearing, not just hearing, drawn forcibly by that powerful sound of his flute because of their love for him. And there's many times when Krishna performed this pastime again and again. There were like reruns of this ecstatic pastime, and it wasn't even in one place. There were different places in Vrindavan that were his favorite places for this pastime of engaging in dancing and singing and enjoying pastimes with the gopis. So in one of these circumstances, Krishna wanted to enjoy with Srimati Radharani. Radharani understood that. She left the Rasa dance. Krishna followed Radharani, and together they went. And then the gopis, seeing that Krishna was gone, they began to follow, to find Krishna. Where is Krishna? Where is Krishna? And they saw footprints of Krishna and one gopi. And then after some time, it was just Krishna's footprints and no gopi's footprints. And then they concluded, used their reason and logic faculty, that Krishna, the gopi, must have feigned being tired. So Krishna agreed to carry Radha on his shoulder. And so he was carrying Radha on his shoulder. And then they spoke this line where they said, there is one who is the best of all worshippers of Krishna. Just see. She has such love for Krishna. Krishna has such love for her beyond even any of us. Aradhyate. So, not saying her name directly, but the best of the worshippers of Srimati, of Krishna, is Radharani. Other than that, there's no direct mention of Radharani for the reason mentioned. But in the other, especially the Sattvic Puranas, they directly mention Radharani's name, and they directly describe some pastimes between Radha and Krishna, and they also describe her position. In the Vishnu Purana, for example, a very often quoted verse is a verse that describes the three different energies of Krishna: his internal energy, marginal energy, and external energy. His energies are unlimited, but for convenience sake, they're analyzed in those three categories. We, the living entities, are in the marginal position, and this world is the external energy, and then there's the internal energy. And Radharani is part of that internal energy. She's the pleasure potency. We'll hear Krishna Das describe. There's Satchit Ananda. She's the Ananda portion of the internal potency. She's the pleasure potency. She gives pleasure to Krishna. And the language is such that it sounds like there are two entities, and he makes it very clear, not two entities. It's one entity. The energetic and the energy are one entity, but the energy is then personified. And the pleasure potency, Ladini Shakti of Krishna, is Radharani. And as Krishna expands unlimitedly, he has such capacity to expand himself in different forms or identical forms or however he likes, because there are different categories of his expansions. Similarly, Srimati Radharani, for increasing the pleasure of Krishna, she expands herself. And this is discussed in Brahma Samhita, briefly in one verse, and then Bhakti Siddhanta expands it a whole bunch from the terms described in the verse, where the gopis are mentioned as expansions of Radha, specifically expansions of her qualities. So the qualities of Krishna serve as stimulations for Krishna's ecstatic love. The principle is very simple. And then the fulfillment of that principle is amazing. It's mind-spinning. According to the Shruti mantras, the absolute truth is rasa. Raso by saha. It's a part of a longer text. Rasa means mellow, or the happiness of love, the happiness of a loving relationship. And the absolute truth, saha, is rasa. Krishna is rasa. And then, so rasa means the object and the subject. The abode of love and the object of love, he is both. And Radha is the object of love, and he is the subject of her love. So as Radha has qualities, those qualities stimulate the happiness of Krishna, the object of love. And then Radha expands herself to further stimulate the happiness of Krishna, and thus the love of Krishna. So Krishna's love for the gopis is nothing other than Krishna's love for Radharani, which is, or who is, Krishna's pleasure potency. He's just enjoying himself. And as he enjoys with the gopis, he's enjoying himself. It's not a separate entity, although it looks like separate entities. Because here, in this plane, it's separate entities. There is a he and a she, and they're two separate entities, and they're finding some enjoyment by being together, which is different than Krishna's expanding as Radharani, because she's his own potency. We can't say that about a living entity. Another living entity is my potency. Not true. Those other living entities are, they're Krishna's potency. Even more specifically, their prakriti. According to Bhagavad Gita, living entities are para prakriti, their superior potency. But the potency means of the potent. They're Krishna's energy. We are Krishna's energy. In relation, in a transcendental sense, in relation to Krishna, we're all female. We may be in a male body or a female body. We may be in a human body or other than a human body. That's the body. Aside from the body, the soul is energy of Krishna. Like mentioned, marginal energy. That energy is to be enjoyed by the energetic. So in a transcendental sense, we are all transcendentally female. And it gets like, very interesting, because although transcendentally female, that is to be enjoyed by Krishna, in the spiritual world, we had this discussion somewhere about a week ago in a home program. Spiritual form, our spiritual, eternal spiritual form, is to accommodate Krishna's happiness. So if our rasa is, for example, a gopi, then the spiritual form will be a female form. If the rasa with Krishna is Krishna's friend, then it's a male form. Although, transcendentally speaking, female, it's a male form, or Krishna's flute. Gopis take issue with Krishna's flute because they want to, they're hankering for the happiness of tasting Krishna's lips, and they don't like the fact that the flute is always tasting Krishna's lips. And they, how many austerities have you performed to get this position? You're just a reed in a bunch of grass growing by the side of a lake, and now look at this, you're tasting Krishna's lips. How fortunate you are. And it shouldn't be like this because you're male. This isn't right. So they scold the flute. But transcendentally speaking, we're all female in relation to Krishna. So, and the gopis, they're Krishna's energy. The main point is, Radha is non-different than Krishna, as the potency is non-different than the potent. So when Krishna is enjoying with Radharani. He's enjoying his own potency. He's not enjoying something outside of himself or some other entity. He's enjoying himself, and it's his pleasure potency. And then the expansions of Krishna's pleasure potency, Radharani, comes in so many forms. Now, I want to read Chaitanya Charitamrita. We're starting with, this is Adi Lila chapter 4 of Chaitanya Charitamrita. I shall delineate the position of Radha and Krishna. From that description, the glory of Lord Chaitanya will be known. Srimati Radharani is the transformation of Krishna's love. She is his internal energy, called Ladini. The Ladini energy gives Krishna pleasure and nourishes his devotees. Lord Krishna's body is Satchitananda, eternal, full of knowledge and full of bliss. His one spiritual energy manifests in three forms. Ladini is his aspect of bliss. Sandini, of eternal existence. And Samvit, of cognizance, which is also accepted as knowledge. O Lord, this is from Vishnu Purana. O Lord, you are the support of everything. The three attributes, Ladini, Sandini, and Samvit, exist in you as one spiritual energy. But the modes of material nature, which cause happiness, misery, and mixture of the two, do not exist in you, for you have no material qualities. And he's indicating the function of the three. The function of the Sandini, which is Shuddha Sattva, unmixed with the modes of nature. Krishna's existence rests upon it, which is, sounds like that's the cause and Krishna's the effect, but it's not like that. It's his expansion of his potency, because he and his potency are not different. In any case, Krishna's mother, father, abode, house, bedding, seats, and so on are all transformations of Shuddha Sattva. Anyways, it gets very involved in describing the functions of the three. And I'll just see if I can fast forward a bit. The whole of the spiritual realm is made of these three potencies. And Krishna's form is a manifestation similarly of these potencies. And then there's Radha's form, who is the manifestation of his pleasure potency. The essence of the Ladini potency is love of God. The essence of love of God is emotion, or bhava. And the ultimate development of emotion is maha bhava. She, Radha Thakurani, is the embodiment of maha bhava. She is the repository of all good qualities and the crest jewel among the lovely consorts of Lord Krishna. Her mind, senses, and body are steeped in love for Krishna. She is Krishna's own energy, and she helps him in his pastimes. Then he quotes Brahma Samhita, this verse that I was referring to, long 12-page purport by Bhaktisiddhanta to explain. I worship Govinda, the primeval Lord, who resides in his own realm, Goloka, with Radha, who resembles his own spiritual figure and who embodies the ecstatic potency, Ladini. Their companions are her confidants, who embody extensions of her bodily form and who are imbued and permeated with ever blissful spiritual rasa. So there, Bhaktisiddhanta describes very nice understanding. As mentioned, Radha has all wonderful qualities. Those qualities, when Krishna is in contact with those qualities, different moods of love are stimulated by the different qualities of Radha. And then the gopis, who are expansions of her, have some cluster of those 64 qualities, and others have another cluster, and others have another cluster, and then there's this big cacophony of ecstatic qualities that when Krishna interacts with, their love is pure because there's no ego and there's no modes of nature. It's just his internal potency expanded in different ways, and they enjoy together. So when they enjoy together, the language, once again, it sounds like they're different entities. That's a limitation of language. But it's not different entities, they're manifestations of him or his potency, and he's enjoying with his potency, and those are the pastimes. Now please listen how Lord Krishna's consorts help him taste rasa, and how they help him in his pastimes. The beloved consorts of Lord Krishna are of three kinds. One, the goddess of fortune. Two, the queens in Dwarka. And three, the milkmaids of Vraja, who are the foremost of all. These consorts all proceed from Radha. Just as the fountainhead, Lord Krishna, is the cause of all incarnations, so Radha is the cause of all these consorts. Meaning, not only the gopis in Vrindavan, but also the queens in Dwarka, and also the goddesses of fortune in Vaikuntha. A little detail that's important and it's nice, but it's a detail. There was a period in history where the worship of Radha Govinda in Jaipur was being contested by some of the followers of Ramanujacharya, who challenged the Pujaris. They went to the king saying, whoever heard of this? Where is it in scripture that it says Radha and Krishna are worshipped? It should be Satyabhama Krishna, Rukmini Krishna. Where is this Radha Krishna? We challenge. These people are worshipping. It's not right. And other challenges. Where is their commentary, these followers of Lord Chaitanya? Where is their commentary on Vedanta Sutra? So when Baladeva Vidyabhusan came to settle that controversy, he wrote Govinda Bhasha, and in one section of Govinda Bhasha discusses this very point, that is specifically with scriptural reference, that the queens of Dwarka and the goddesses of fortune in Vaikuntha, their expansions of Srimati Radharani. She is the Lord's internal potency. Of course, this is on the authority of Bhagavatam, because the Bhagavatam itself is the natural commentary on Srimad Bhagavatam. But in any case, with scriptural reference, that Radharani, as is the internal potency of Krishna who expands, Radharani expands, just as mentioned here, the milkmaids, the gopis of Vraja, the queens of Vrindavan, and the goddesses of fortune in Vaikuntha. Just as Krishna is the fountainhead, Radharani is the fountainhead of the Shakti manifestations, the potency manifestations. It continues, text 77. The goddesses of fortune are partial manifestations of Sri Mati Radhika, and the queens are reflections of her image. The goddesses of fortune are her plenary portions, and they display the forms of Vaibhav Vilas. This is technical. The queens are of the nature of her Vaibhav Prakash. This terminology is like technical terminology. In another place of Chaitanya Charitamrita, Lord Chaitanya goes through in detail with Sanatana Goswami about expansions of Krishna and similar terminology, Vaibhav Prakash and Vaibhav Vilas and so forth. And what, it's confusing, but what it is, the purports explain. The point here is, as Krishna expands, Radha expands. Krishna being the original personality of Godhead with unlimited capacity to do anything he wishes, including expanding himself in various ways for various purposes. Radha does the same. The Vraja Devis, the gopis in Vrindavan, have diverse bodily features. They are her expansions and the instruments for expanding rasa. So he's declared, I'm going to explain how the gopis assist in Krishna's enjoyment. Here's how they do it. They're expansions of Radha. Their bodily features are expansions of her. She's the repository of all beauty. She's the repository of all compassion. She's the repository of all good qualities. They are expansions of her, and some of her qualities are within them. And so they assist Radha in stimulating Krishna's love and happiness for Radharani specifically. There are many manifestations of Srimati Radharani to assist in the Lord's pastimes. Among them are various groups of consorts of Vraja who have varieties of sentiments and mellows. They help Lord Krishna taste all the sweetness of the rasa dance and other pastimes. Radha is the one who gives pleasure to Govinda. She is the enchantress of Govinda. She is the be-all and end-all of Govinda and the crest jewel of all his consorts. Then he quotes from Brihat Gautamiya Tantra. The transcendental goddess, Srimati Radharani, is the direct counterpart of Lord Sri Krishna. She is the central figure for all the goddesses of fortune. She possesses all the attractiveness to attract the all-attractive personality of Godhead. So therefore, her name is, one of the names is Madan Mohan Mohini. The worshipable deity of Sanatana Goswami was Madan Mohan. Madan Mohan. Madan Mohan means the attractor of Cupid. There's a pastime which describes Lord Indra was in anxiety because Nara Narayan, an incarnation of the personality of Godhead, and their associates, they were so austere, so engaging in austerities that Indra thought, uh-oh, they may be after my position as king of heaven. So he contacted Cupid personified. We have these. I found this out in China. There's also some notion of a god of love, like in Western culture. You know, Valentine's Day, where Cupid fires his arrow and people, oh. So that Cupid, according to, is a personality in the heavenly planets, according to the Vedic literature. And Kandarpa is his name. So Indra asked Kandarpa, Cupid, please come. Please go to this place where Narayan are residing. Bring the most beautiful celestial damsels, and then you fire one of your arrows at Lord Narayan, and then he'll become attracted to these beautiful damsels, and he'll become weakened in his austerity, and my position will be safe. So Kandarpa followed what Indra had suggested. Narayan understood the mission. He came directly before Cupid, and as Cupid was getting one of his arrows ready, Narayan exhibited from his own body unlimited numbers of goddesses of fortune. Millions of times each one, millions of times more beautiful than any of the damsels from the heavenly planets. And Cupid dropped his bow, he was stunned. So, and then he confessed and apologized. I came with this bad mission and please forgive me. And Narayan said, yes, I know. These arrows and these are insignificant, meaningless. So Cupid became attracted to Narayana. So as Cupid is attracted to the Supreme Lord, that's Madan Mohan. Madan Mohan, the attractor of Cupid. And Radharani is the attractor of the attractor of Cupid. Krishna is attracted by the qualities of Krishna, of Radha. The beauty of Radha, the compassion of Radha, the character of Srimati Radharani. He loves Radha because she's his pleasure potency. And so there's pastimes of love between the two, and she steals the mind of Krishna. She captures the mind of Krishna. She attracts the mind of Krishna. She attracts the love of Krishna. And she does this spontaneously, not like a calculating person who thinks, let me get my man and let me do this, so I get my man. It's not like that. She says she has love for Krishna. She has spontaneous, natural, pure love for Krishna. She's in this Shuddha Sattva position. Sometimes Radharani does contrary things that look like, why is she doing that? She's speaking badly to Krishna or about Krishna in a mood of anger. And Krishna likes that. He knows it's the place that it's coming from is a place of love for him. And he likes that more than he likes Chandravali, who would never do something like this. That the right-wing gopis and the left-wing gopis, those that are contrary and those that are very submissive. Krishna, of course, he has his enjoyment is unlimited. He has special appreciation for this kind of love that Radharani has. It's just part of his nature. He likes that diversity of love because sometimes she's submissive, sometimes she's contrary, she just acts for Krishna's pleasure. Not that others don't. It says that variegatedness enhances and enriches Krishna's pleasure. A couple other things. There's so much going on. So understanding the truth about Radharani is essential to get it right when we hear about the pastimes of Radha and Krishna. So then the source of these pastimes, very little is in the Bhagavatam for a reason mentioned. Other places where the pastimes of Radha and Krishna are disclosed are in these other literatures, the other sattvic Puranas. And also there are pure devotees of the Lord who, by dint of their purity, the pastimes of Krishna are disclosed to them. And then they share them with Krishna, with the world. They're confidential. One of the things that Krishna does, Kaviraj says in this Chaitanya Charitamrita, is that there are many confidential things that are disclosed here. And in one sense, it's not good to disclose confidential things to unqualified people. But my happiness and contentment is they won't understand these things. And so no problem, here it goes. But in general, devotees, qualified devotees, are very reserved about discussing Radha and Krishna's pastimes, but in some cases they're disclosed. And so I thought spend a little bit of time just sharing a couple of pastimes. One that really short and simple, but it exhibits one of the principal characteristics of Srimati Radharani, and that is her compassion. So there's a pastime that's described where Radharani and the gopis, they were traveling on a path one day, and over in the field they saw some cowherd boys, and they were they had fire, and they had sticks, and they had rocks, and they were shouting loud-voiced, calling down a hole. And so Radha and the gopis went over to see what they were doing, and there was a jackal. You know what a jackal is? It's an animal, four-legged animal, that has a kind of gnarled body, and like kind of a low class, like, you know, not even like a fox, but even, you know, a rascal, jackal. So they were, a jackal had entered in a hole, and they were taunting the jackal to come out and, you know, put in fire in the hole and sticks and call him bad names, and taunting the jackal because he's like a low creature. Radharani asked, what are you doing? They described what they were doing. And they asked them, you know, please don't do this, step aside. And she coaxed the jackal to come out of the hole, carried the jackal in her arms to a safe place, free from where the cowherd boys were. And, you know, the jackal recognized the compassion that had been extended, and some further description of the indebtedness the jackal felt to Srimati Radharani. And similarly, there's a very nice pastime where one of the chief expansions of Radharani is these eight principal gopis, according to Brahma Samhita, there's tens of hundreds of thousands of gopis that expand from Radharani, but there's eight principal gopis, and amongst them the chief one is Lalita. And Lalita, on the one hand, she's most outspoken in challenging anyone that, you know, disturbs Radharani. She puts her hands on her hips and scolds anybody. Get out of here. Leave Radharani alone. You're a nonsense. And very, like, strong in her speech. And very, you know, like, very particular in her criticisms of, you know, like, just for the protection of Radharani, the sanctity and so forth of Radharani. But she also has a very, very soft side in her relationship with Krishna and in her service to Krishna. So one of the things, there's a nice passage that describes Lalita's liking to find some of the gopis who haven't had direct association with Krishna, and with the approval of Radharani, take them by the hand and bring them before Krishna so that Krishna can see them and be pleased by their presence. And of course, they're thrilled to be in Krishna's presence. They're happy just to be in a remote way serving Krishna, but Lalita wishes to give them that special privilege or favor. She's very, very compassionate as Radharani's principal expansion, her expansion of her compassion. So Radharani is like that, very compassionate, and our engagement in devotional service is dependent upon Radharani's compassion. The internal potency extended to us, the opportunity to engage in Krishna's services by Radharani's mercy. And devotees that understand this, they pray to Srimati Radharani for her mercy. She's merciful. We don't exactly need to pray, then she becomes merciful. She's merciful. She extends her mercy. She goes out of her way to extend her mercy. Others, according to Chaitanya Charitamrita, persons who are performing the function of spiritual master, they're either receiving the empowerment to do that service from Lord Nityananda or from Srimati Radharani, because they're both such exceptional manifestations of Krishna's mercy. But that's Srimati Radharani. We're indebted to her just to be engaged in service. And so on her appearance day, we express our gratitude to her specifically and appeal to her to be, continue to be engaged in Krishna's service by her mercy. The opportunity to do some service and continue to be engaged in Krishna's service. Of course, that mercy comes through various forms, representatives of Srimati Radharani, carrying that mercy, that compassion of Srimati Radharani. That's how the cyclic succession works. Ultimately, it's Radharani's kind, compassionate mood. Very profound, very deep mystery, and we're honoring Radharani's appearance today. Any discussion of this or comments?
Yeah. I don't have a question, but I just want to thank you so much. I have heard many lectures by you on Srimati Radharani's record, but this one made
Anything that any of us may have to say that's of merit goes to, the credit goes to Srila Prabhupada. Little drop of all of what he has given. That's all. Anything else?
Yeah. What about the elderly gopis like Mother Yashoda? They are also expansions of Radharani, no. Or Yashoda Sattva's expansion?
Yeah, separate. She's an eternal associate of, she's, her position is an eternal position. It's the rasa is different. Parental affection. And there are the expansions of her to assist in that mood of love. She is Shakti Tattva. She's in a category different than living entities, as is Radharani, Shakti Tattva. Do you understand that term, Shakti Tattva? There's living entities, that's us. We're jiva, like little sparks, jiva. And then there's Shakti Tattva, that's Srimati Radharani. She's directly Krishna's potency. That's a different category. She's not like us, we're not like her. And expansions of her are also Shakti Tattva. And then there's us, there's Jiva Tattva. We don't have the capacity to expand. We're expansions of Krishna in a certain capacity. So Radha, excuse me, Yasoda and Nanda, they're not living entities like us. They're in this other category. So living entities like us may, in the stage of perfection, become assistants of Mother Yasoda or Nanda Maharaj, or of the gopis who are Shakti Tattva. Jivas can become associates of them and assist them in eternal pastimes. But that's an eternal position, not a post, and someone can occupy the post. It's the eternal associates. And in the category of Shakti Tattva. It's a science. What can you do?
Yeah. Generally, when we talk about Krishna's qualities, we say Sachit Ananda qualities, and then we also talk about Samvit, Sandini Samvit and Ladini.
Yeah.
And that's potency. Is there any difference between these three? It seems like Sandini is Satan.
Well, there's difference. That's why there's categories. They have functions. The difference is in terms of function. It's all under the umbrella of internal potency, but I can't recall hearing as Radharani is a manifestation of Ladini potency, and here's her form and here's her qualities and so forth. Over there's Samvit personified and Sandini personified. Rather, the only thing I have familiar with hearing is the Sandini potency manifests the spiritual world. The paraphernalia of Krishna and even the form of Krishna. Not everything. The dress of Krishna, the couch of Krishna, the shoes of Krishna, the Brahmin set of Krishna, the flute of Krishna. The Sandini potency manifests. That Sandini potency is part of the internal potency which makes up the spiritual world. And Samdit, or cognitive potency, as it says, or sometimes also understood as knowledge. The capacity to know comes from this Samvit potency. So, does that address your question? Not exactly.
I was actually asking about, Sandini seems to map to Sat, then
yes.
Samvit
yes.
seems
yeah, they correspond.
Chit, and then
yes.
Ananda seems okay. Ladini.
Yes,
so I was
yes that's correct.
Whether they are
that's correct. There's different nomenclature. This set and that set match. There's other ones too. Antaranga Shakti, Bahiranga Shakti, and like that. So there's other sets of three that match. They just stack. They're just the same. Different nomenclature for the same thing. Yeah.
How do you describe the Durga Shakti with respect to Radharani?
She is the shadow potency.
Of Krishna.
Of Radharani. That's like, or Yoga Maya, you know, as in the pastime of Krishna's appearance. So again, you know, it gets like really technical, more than we've already gotten technical. The relationship of Yoga Maya potency with Radharani and the internal potency, how does it all fit together? But one can say she's the expansion, the external or shadow potency of Radharani. One can also say she's the shadow potency of Yoga Maya. So there's the potency and then there's the shadow of the potency. Similar, another reference which says the same thing is the glance of Mahavishnu. When Mahavishnu, you know this from Sri Brahma Samhita, because you attended the seminar. So when Mahavishnu glances, upon whom is he glancing? He's glancing at the Chaya Devi, or the reflection of Rama Devi, the internal potency of Mahavishnu. And then the glance is Shambhu, and Shambhu then consorts with Durga. Huh? It's the shadow potency of the Lord. Shadow potency of, more specifically, shadow potency of the internal potency. The shadow potency of the Lord. She is his shadow potency. Durga. The same as what it says in Brahma Samhita. She does Srishti, Siti, Pralaya, Sadhana, Shaktire. She does all these things under the direction of Govinda. She is his shadow potency. And she does according to his will. And she won't do against his will. Like that whole description of Jan Parat. When they were these Dakwa, anyway, the foolish people were trying to harm Jan Parat. She jumped out of the deity form and chopped them with her chopper. You're wanting to offer us human sacrifice. This is a great devotee of my master. How dare you? Chop, chop, chop. So shadow potency under his rule. And thus, you know, although the devotee of Krishna may not worship Durga, she protects them as his, under his direction. She protects them. The Lord's protection comes in many ways. Yeah. Chaitanya. Krishna. Yes.
Radharani has different expansions and Krishna has different expansions. But for me it is a little confusing because Radharani is the internal potency of Krishna. So I feel, and in the context of the loving relationship between Radharani and Krishna, I don't see them different. They are one and the same.
Yeah.
But for sometimes, I mean, the way we do the offerings in the temple, or we celebrate celebrations for Radhashtami and Krishnashtami, I see a little bit of, at least the importance that is given, at least in the temple, that's what I see, is a little different.
What's the confusion? Everything is fine. Where's the confusion?
I see both the same.
What do you mean
it's
both
not
the
different.
Same?
Krishna is not different from Radharani and Radha.
There's non-difference and there's difference. There's non-difference. And there's difference. One is the energetic and the other is the energy. Non-difference. Energy and energetic are non-different. Then there's difference. One is the energetic and the other is the energy. That's Lord Chaitanya's teaching. Achintya. Bhed, abhed. Difference and non-difference. Simultaneously. And then it's the adjective is achintya, inconceivable. So meaning, the mind can be fixed on the non-difference. The mind can be fixed on the difference. And they're simultaneously different and non-different. Both are correct statements. So the whole package is, they're simultaneously both. One can speak about the non-difference, one can speak about the difference. In the pastimes, it's simultaneously both. There's non-difference and difference.
They coexist.
They coexist. And, you know, from the material point of view, that's a no-no. You can't have them coexist. It's either this or that. It can't be this and that. Like the light switch. It's either on or off. How do you have it on and off? It doesn't work. It's a one or a zero. We'll talk about how it's zero. Then we'll talk about how it's one. And then one gets confused. It's simultaneously both. Inconceivably. So how does something inconceivable become known? Is it knowable? It's knowable by mercy, not by speculation. The mind extending and encompassing something that's beyond the mind. It's not going to be understood that way. Guaranteed it won't be understood that way. One will remain confused. or come up with a philosophy that says this or that says that, but not simultaneously both. So that simultaneously both teaching is it's essential for understanding bhakti. How can that which is temporary and perishable and illusory connect one with that which is imperishable and eternal? It would seem that you just have to like kick it out, reject it, you know, ignore it, and do something else. So how do we use these things in service of, because there's a connection, although there's difference. And the spiritual potential of this becomes like an electric wire, or a copper wire becomes electrified by passing electricity. And then it becomes electricity, although it's just a copper wire. So the spiritual quality of the tongue and the ear become restored by engaging the tongue and the ear and the mind and everything in service to Krishna. So it's the philosophical, you say, justification or explanation of how devotional service isn't just something imaginary or sentimental. Factually, it connects one with Krishna. So there's a difference and a non-difference at the same time. There's a connection. Even when we speak of difference, there's a connection. Matter is an energy of Krishna. The living entity, there's these three categories. Living entity is an energy of Krishna. And Srimati Radharani is an energy of Krishna. All of which are not different than Krishna. We can say living entity is not different than Krishna, but different from Krishna too. We're qualitatively the same, quantitatively different. And our position is we're potency, and he's the source of that potency. Different, but same. There's a sameness and there's a difference at the same time. It's a sublime philosophy. And when engages in devotion, even if one doesn't know the philosophy, if one engages in devotional service, connecting with this, the internal potency of Krishna through devotional service, lights go on. Darkness is dispelled. Happiness is experienced. Something is experienced. It's just amazing. Just I'll end with this. While we were engaged in our festival here in Boston, Abhiram Prabhu, he's a godbrother who's connected with the Harinam Ashram, you know. He had been invited. There's a Russian devotee that comes to America named Uttama Shloka, and he has kind of made a little network of people at the UN. And then their friends and associates, kind of an eclectic kind of New Age group or something like that. And there was a function over the weekend. I think it was Sunday afternoon. And they had different people presenting, kind of like a hodgepodge of this yogi and that something, you know, kind of like, oh my God. And then there was the kirtan. And he shared with me in writing that these other people, these New Age people, kind of promote themselves as being patrons of the indigenous Indian people, the original Americans before the Europeans came and, like, treated them badly, and were the supporters of it. So the kirtan singer was Deva Madhava's wife. They have a Krishna house in the University of Michigan in Ann Arbor, near Ann Arbor. So So she was the Kirtan Singh. She was introduced. She's a Native American, a Native Indian. And here, you know, I'm the older generation. Here's all these younger generations. This is for everybody, kind of a message. And then they had Kirtan. And he said, looking around the audience, he couldn't see anybody that wasn't crying, including the yogis and, you know, the other people. Just because the holy name touches the heart. So, you know, they don't know the Achintya Veda Veda Tattva philosophy. They've got some other kind of something going on. That's okay. It touches the heart. And, you know, the way that the presentation was made, it was meaningful. He felt it was especially meaningful to them that here was a Native American person singing God's name. So I shared that with Pam yesterday. I said he may contact you and in the future engage you in this way. She couldn't make it because on Friday evening there was a death of her childhood friend's mother. Is part of the same, whatever it is, community. So they have these rituals and she wasn't close with them. So she would come. Shrimati Radharani ki jai.